Hello and welcome to Pain and Fromage, an occasional podcast about an ordinary middle-aged bloke and his cycling adventures. The episode you're listening to is part of a series featuring not one, but two middle-aged blokes, as Rich and Graham make the long journey from Paris to Nice on their vintage road bikes. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Pain and Fromage. Coming to you today from the shores of Lake Annecy at the moment. Beautiful morning. The sun has made a return for the first time in, I think, 2 days, shining over the mountains there to our east. Looks absolutely gorgeous. Clear blue skies. It is 10 to 8 in the morning, and we are up and on it.
Well, we're up.
We're up, yeah. Actually, I just feel so much better today, having had a good night's sleep in that tent. Solid. I mean, I woke up with dawn as usual, but I feel good having slept well. Yep. Had a cup of coffee. We've had a quick pack up today, and we're going to hit the road nice and quickly because we've got our first big mountain, haven't we, Graham?
We have indeed. Col de la Madeleine.
Col de la Madeleine. So we're taking a 32-kilometer flat route to Albeville, and then our first big climb starts. Col de la Madeleine is a famous Tour de France climb. And it's almost 2,000 metres, isn't it?
It is, 1993.
1993. So if I stand on your shoulders, I might just get my head possibly just above 2,000. Loads of stuff to get ready. Down at Albeville, we're going to stock up on snacks and drinks and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully get some nice views of the lake on the way down. Any thoughts about today, Gray?
My arse hurts.
Yes, arses are starting to... I feel like we're hanging on a bit for rest day, aren't we?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hopefully tonight we've got a campsite, and then we've got one more riding day tomorrow, and that should bring us to Briançon, where there might be hotels and a day off for arses.
There will be hotels.
There will be hotels, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, awesome. Right, we're going to get all the last bits of stuff packed up, and we are going to hit the road. Oh, bless you. As you can hear, we've arrived in Albeville. What a beautiful sunny day. I mean, this is probably the best weather we've had.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting outside an Italian cafe called La Mama, enjoying some coffee and some juice and the sunshine and a little chocolate.
Which I'm just about to eat now because it's that warm, it's about to melt.
It's about to melt. It is absolutely gorgeous. Good morning so far. I mean, we've made pretty good time to here.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen our first snow-capped mountains.
We've seen our first snow-capped mountains, which is awesome. And a lovely little ride down from Annecy down to here, the first bit particularly. Riding through a big wide alpine meadow and mountains either side. It was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Just absolutely glorious. And then we sort of turned a corner down into this valley and we've been following the motorway since. Which hasn't been quite as scenic, but still.
Well, I don't know, there were still some nice sort of little streams, rivers.
Yeah, there were some mountain streams and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's fantastic. And Albeville seems like quite a nice place. It seems quite busy, but it's a bit of a gateway to all the coals around, I think. So
yeah. It was also host town for the 1992 Winter Olympics.
Well, yes, there we go.
There you go.
I didn't know that until you told me yesterday.
Oh, there we go, fat figure. Fact checkers,
yeah. Yep. Get Richard Osman on it again. So, from here, we slowly start the climb, don't we? I think we go further down the valley and kind of hang a left, and it slowly starts to climb, and then it gets a bit harder as we go a bit further up. But we're going to restock here, refuel, make sure we've got plenty of sweets, and tackle the climb.
Indeed. A biento.
Well, we are at the foot of the climb. The Col de Madeleine, 26 kilometres according to the road sign. Just getting stuck into the lower stretches. Quite a few people about. There's been some packs of riders and some individuals. And then there's me and Graham, the only ones I've seen with our big bags. Certainly doing it the hard way. Well, 4 kilometres into this climb, the valley is far below already. I'm looking down at the next town down, and it's mere specks. That first section was really difficult. There was some 11% ramps, which doesn't sound a lot, but with all the gear on and it being the start of the climb, it made it really, really difficult. And I was pulling really hard and it was hurting my back and all kinds of stuff. But now it's slackened a bit, only 7%, only, and I'm starting to find a bit of rhythm. I hope you can hear the bird song. It's lovely up here and quiet. Just punctured by the occasional flotilla of motorcycles coming past. Big groups of them. Seen one other chap on the bike. Motorhome. But it's quiet and it's lovely. The only thing is it's very difficult to forget how hard it is. You can't get it out of your brain that it's tiring and it's hurting, and a big part of your brain is saying you shouldn't be doing this. But here we are, 1200 meters to go, 21 kilometers. Okay, well, just over halfway in terms of distance. On the climb, that is, on the Col de Madeleine. Nowhere near halfway up the climbing though, so we've had a couple of flatter sections which gave us a bit of respite for a couple of kilometres, and now it's challenging once again. So it's got to keep the pedals turning. It was promised a bar hotel restaurant a few kilometres back, and it hasn't appeared yet. I'm hanging on for that opportunity at the moment. Oh, just a half a beer would go in so well. Nine kilometres to go now. Still, I think, 600 metres to climb. So, still got Dartmoor to go. Motorbikes. There we go, get the ambience of the climb there. The sound of the waterfall running down the hill to my right. Completely obliterated by the occasional group of motorbikes. Here's another one. Looking around now, some of the mountains that were distant peaks from the bottom are now our neighbours. It's pretty amazing how high you can come under your own steam in just a couple of hours. We are 2 hours in now. We found the bar, we had a drink, and we're still going. Four 400 meters of climbing to go. We are passing little patches of snow by the roadside now. It's tough. We had a steep section just now, and I'm not going to make this moment, but I'm still going. And I'm thinking of my family cheering me on at home. My mate just behind me on the road. And we're going to get there. It is chilly here. Might have to stop and put my top on in a minute. When the wind blows, you really feel the snow and ice in it. It's something else. We really are among the mountain tops now. Glorious. Absolutely glorious. Well, we have made it to the summit. It is absolutely freezing here, so I'm not going to do anything really except to say woohoo, and we're going to head down the other side. Absolutely beautiful. Some real big snow-capped peaks in the distance that we're heading down towards, and a big stone monument that says Col de la Madeleine, altitude 2,000 metres, and a cafe bar that we are avoiding because I'd quite like to get down to the valley and have a nice warm pint. So we'll check in a bit later on. Well, here we are at the end of the ride at our campsite, the lovely, what's it called? The Bois Jolie.
The Bois Jolie.
Yeah.
The pretty wood.
Yeah, it is very nice, isn't it?
Mm,
it's a very woodlandy campsite, lots of semi-mature and mature trees everywhere, blackbirds singing in the background.
And surrounded by beautiful mountains.
Yeah, beautiful mountains. And the reception and bar is like a ramshackly sort of wooden cabin. Loads of Tour de France stuff in there. They seem very bike friendly. We've got a nice pitch that we're just going to go and check out in a minute. But what a ride, eh, Graham?
Yeah, bloody brilliant. So I did my usual. Started off, oh God, what would you, you know, never going to be able to make this. But then the first 50K was pretty flat. Just really getting to the climb.
Yep.
So all down. Well, we started off as. Did we mention it earlier? With the nice ride down from Albertville?
Yeah, mentioned it briefly, yeah.
We did, yeah. Oh,
yeah, the first bit, that was gorgeous, wasn't it? Mm-hmm, coming through the sort of alpine meadows, really, really good cycle trail.
Yep.
Like, fantastic.
And then we got a little bit lost on the way from Albertville.
We did, yep.
Ended up down a farm track, and it was like, nope.
Nope, and then turned back into a headwind. But then, onto the climb after that, which was, I thought it was severe at first, and then it was merely hard for a bit. And then the middle was a bit better, wasn't it? But then, after we had that beer, there were some tricky sections.
There were indeed. I think I got to, it was a couple of parts. One between, with about 8K to go, and just to context for listeners, the reason I know 8K to go is on the hills they have markers showing you how far it is to the peak or to the col. So, you know, that's why you can tell. That's why I'm not just going, oh, yes, it's 8K.
And it gives you the gradient of the next kilometre doesn't it, which is quite cool.
So there were some there which were sort of 8 to 10%, which by that time were getting tricky. And then 2-3K to go. It's because of A, the gradient, B, the altitude. It just, I was looking and thinking, I could walk this and be as quick, but.
And you start thinking, hang on, I've got like 4 kilometres to go and I'm probably doing about 5 kilometres an hour. So is it going to take me 45 minutes from here to get to the top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that as well with the kilometre markers. Because I sort of doing the maths in your head, I was going, well, it's an average of 8% of the top now. So if they're all 8, then that's fine. But if I get an easier gradient, which is what mentally I really wanted, that would mean there would be a really, really hard section to come.
Yeah.
But it was actually, the way it worked was the third out was 8 kilometres, the penultimate, 8%.
Yeah.
The penultimate one was 10%.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is great because this is going to leave 5% for that last bit over the top.
Yep.
And it was
1935,
yeah.
Yeah, so 58 metres in the last kilometre, and I was just like, right, I know my climbs at home.
Yep.
I can do them, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
The difference being, as I mentioned a moment ago, the climbs at home aren't 2,000 metres up, so the air's a bit thinner. But actually, I didn't find that bad.
No.
But I think that's...
There were hard bits for sure, but...
Yeah. No, I meant the altitude in general.
Oh, the altitude, yeah. No. It might... Like Galibier, it might be a bit different, because that's nearly another 1,000 higher, isn't it?
600, yeah.
600, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And Izuard is higher again. I've been to like 3.6, I think, when I was in Peru. Mm-hmm. And I got altitude sickness there, so it won't be as bad as that.
Yeah.
I've just noticed there's a cow peeping at us around the corner of the log shed. It's a little cut-out cow that someone's stuck on the corner.
Oh, I thought you meant literally a cow.
No, not literally a cow. Mm. Anyway, so the summit's quite... the Col is at like a little car park, and there's a cafe and bar there, a few people milling around taking photos, which is great. Got a chat to a few people, had some photos. And the monument. Mm-hmm. And the monument, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which gives the height as 2,000 metres, which I think is higher than it's officially given us. But 2,000, that's great, yep. Had a few photos of people. The only thing that made me a bit grumpy about the day was the amount of motorbikes and high-powered sports cars going up there.
Yeah, but then that's...
You know, it's a free world. People got to enjoy themselves, but... My God, like, by the top, it was doing my head in.
I think for the majority of them, you know, I think you said you had one close pass, but most of them were pretty respectful.
I had somebody who wanted to cut the apex on my side of the road and realised almost last second that I was there and sort of backed out of the manoeuvre. But
But then also within the cyclists that were there, definite camaraderie.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, everyone, you know. Well done, you know.
Select group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
We were the only ones on old bikes with panniers, etc., etc.
Yep.
Everyone else was in their modern bikes in all.
I saw another couple with panniers that went over the top.
Right.
I only saw one of the set of
e-bikes.
Panniers. But oh, were they e-bikes?
They were e-bikes.
They?
Yeah. They're a German couple.
We're proper hardcore then. We're the only ones that have done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So pleased to be here. It's only 5:30. We're already having a beer and a bag of crisps, so we are way ahead of where we have been most
previous
days. A lot
better than yesterday.
All we need is for there not to be a thunderstorm now, and it will be the best evening of the trip so far. I'm looking forward to the next bit and getting this podcast edited. Tomorrow, we've got a big day again tomorrow, haven't we?
Yep, Telegraph and Galibier.
Telegraph and Galibier. So a nice flat start again, and then up Telegraph.
Yep.
And then
down to Valois.
Down a little bit to Valois, and then up again to Galibier. So it's going to be another big but long day.
And we'll catch up later with Fromage du Jour.
Oh, yeah, Fromage du Jour. We haven't done Fromage du Jour yet.
No, that's because
we've got the fromage.
Yeah, it's troubled with us.
But then
we could, in theory, because in this town there is a latery.
There is?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's still going to be open, though?
I think it's open till about 7.
Is it? Okay. Well,
yeah, so we might have one more wander into town. I'll go and check it out. And, yeah, so we might have some produced in the town cheese.
I was about to sign off, but we're still going to have fromage du jour to add on. So I'm not going to sign off. I'm going to eat my crisps and drink my beer. And then we're going to do fromage du jour.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back in a second. Okay, we are back for Fromage du Jour, and today Graham has chosen a Reblochon de Savoie. Savoie is the region that we're in at the moment. So this is a cow's cheese, a cooked cow's cheese, and it's from the valley that we cycled through yesterday, the Val de Fier, the one with the big gorges and all that kind of stuff. And I think the address of the shop or the fromagerie that it came from is actually the town where we had a beer before we went into Annecy. So, a very local cheese. Well done on your selection.
No, it's also, we purchased this, about 10 o'clock this morning?
We did.
And it's been sat in Rich's bag all day, so it should be nicely matured. You actually get the full flavour and not the, straight out of the fridge.
It's almost kind of stringy. It's like chewing gum would be if it wasn't sticky, do you know what I mean? Nice, quite a thick rind on it. Nice and white. Don't know if it's pasteurised or not.
Very mild.
Oh, that is super creamy. Well, that's like liquid gold, that is. And like you pull it apart and it stretches.
Only a little bit, but not... Not like sort of melted mozzarella stretchy.
No. But, I mean, texture, good grief. Texture-wise, this is amazing.
I'm also wondering if it's one of those that if you, you know, leave it for a few weeks, whether it mature.
Might do.
In a camembert style or whether it, right now, fresh and young, it's...
It is delicious. I always get a little bit of dairy leaf from cheese like this. You know, it's cow's cheese.
Yeah, I know.
And it's got this texture.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say dairy leaf. I don't know why. I was not being rude to it because I bloody love dairy leaf. I'll have some more.
You ever tried making a toasty with dairy leaf?
I haven't.
Don't.
Oh.
It does very weird texture.
Now you can put this in tartiflette, can you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good thing to do with a reblochon.
I don't think it'd last that long.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Of course, it's delicious.
Bit for the recipe and bit for me.
Have some more of that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, wonderful. Anyway. That's a very good fromage du jour. Well, well chosen,
Graham. For those not working, I've just taken the whole wedge and gone.
He's holding his reblochon like a pasty.
I've got some cheese.
Well, sorry, I've got cheese in my mouth now. Hang on. As ever, folks, thanks very much for listening to Pain and Fromage. Love making this for you guys. I'm glad there's people listening. I'm super glad there's people enjoying it and listening to more than one episode, which is fantastic. If you're enjoying it, please don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or listen direct on the website, blaggers.blog, where you will also find a selection of my writing, including blogs about stuff. And eventually, there will be blogs about every day of this tour of Paris-Nice, so check that out as well if you can. That was quite professional.
Are you saying that just like to add on to the end?
Yeah, I've run out of steam now. I should have left it there, shouldn't I?
No, I'd actually leave that bit on there and go, that was quite professional. And then cut.
Yeah, except I'm still recording now.
Well, yeah, but you can edit, can't you, too?
I could edit. Well, I should probably leave this in now. Anyway, we're going to eat our cheese. More tomorrow. Thanks for listening, guys.
God, that's good.
Thanks very much for listening to this podcast, and congratulations on making it this far. If you want to hear more, then please don't forget to like and subscribe. You can also take a look at some of my written work and photography on my blog website, www.blaggers.blog. Theme music kindly provided by Abydos Music. For royalty-free music, check them out at www.abydos-music.fr. Thanks again for listening to Pain and Fromage!